Hello, and welcome to Sikahan. Today, Chiba's record-breaking rain, and the question it leaves behind, how much rain was your city actually built to handle? On the night of August 13, 2026, record-breaking rain fell on Chiba Prefecture, the region just east of Tokyo. The weather station in Chiba City recorded 115 millimeters of rain in a single hour. That is the highest hourly figure since observations began there in 1966, about six decades of records. Japan's top-level rain warning, called a Level 5 Special Warning, spread through the night to 22 cities and towns. And by midday on the 14th, the police tally stood at six dead, one person in cardiac arrest, and one missing. The casualty figures in this video are preliminary, as reported at the time of recording, and may change. How long can a city's design hold out against the rain? There are three questions worth asking. First, what exactly made this rain historic? Second, how much rain were our cities actually designed to handle? And third, in an era when so-called once-in-a-century rain keeps getting more frequent, what exactly hasn't caught up? We will come back to all three questions with answers at the end of this video. Let's start with what happened that night. Here is how the night unfolded hour by hour. From the evening of August 13th, warm, moist air and cold air aloft destabilized the atmosphere, and linear rain bands formed over Chiba one after another. A linear rain band is a phenomenon where developed rain clouds line up over the same spot and keep dumping torrential rain for hours. In the hour ending at 6:48 in the evening, the station in Chiba City recorded 115 millimeters. At 7:30, the Japan Meteorological Agency issued a Level 5 Heavy Rain Special Warning, the highest tier in the Japanese system, meaning a disaster is imminent or already underway. The warning area kept growing through the night, reaching 22 cities and towns by half past midnight. That same night, the Weather Agency and the Infrastructure Ministry held an emergency joint press conference, calling it rainfall of a kind not previously experienced. To see how unusual this was, compare Chiba Prefecture's hourly rainfall records. In 2023, when a typhoon flooded the city of Mobara, the record was 78 millimeters in 1 hour. That was itself an all-time high for that station. This time, Chiba City recorded 115 millimeters. Comparing record against record, that is nearly 1.5 times higher. The 24-hour total, 351 millimeters as of the early morning tally, was also an all-time record. Across the prefecture, five stations set new hourly records that night, and three set new 3-hour records. Now the damage and disruption. Again, these figures are preliminary, as of midday on August 14th. The first reported victims were a man found dead on a flooded road in Ichikawa City and a woman in cardiac arrest, rescued from a car stranded in floodwater in Kashiwa City. The toll kept rising through the morning, with victims confirmed in Sakura and Yachiyo as well. Six dead, one in cardiac arrest, one missing by the police tally. Note that the first reported victims were on flooded roads, not in collapsed houses. Hold on to that fact. We will come back to it later. At the peak, evacuation orders covered more than 400,000 residents across three prefectures. About 46,000 households in Chiba lost power at the peak. Several rail lines stayed suspended until around midday, and with both trains and buses to central Tokyo halted, roughly 7,000 people were stranded at Narita Airport overnight. The prefecture opened its government hall to commuters who could not get home. Some background. This was the fourth major wind or water disaster to strike Chiba Prefecture since 2019. Typhoon Faxai in September 2019 was a wind disaster. Gusts of 57.5 meters per second tore off roofs and caused weeks-long blackouts. Before the region had recovered, heavy rain struck that October, flooding the basin of the Ichinomiya River. In September 2023, another typhoon sent rivers over their banks around Mobara City, flooding more than 700 homes above floor level. And now, this August's record rain. Four disasters in 7 years, though they differ in character, from wind-dominant typhoons to short, violent downpours. So what was different this time? Chiba's past disasters mostly hit the rural south and the outer coast of the peninsula. This time, the special warnings reached the densely populated northwest, Chiba City, Funabashi, Matsudo, the commuter suburbs of Tokyo. By total volume, the 2023 typhoon actually dropped more rain. What broke records was not how much fell, but how fast it fell. Rain of around 100 millimeters per hour was analyzed over one dense residential area after another, places where homes and rail lines are packed together. And it all landed on a weekday evening, right in the commute home. That is why the transport shutdown, the blackouts, and the evacuation orders all unfolded at once. There is one more piece of background. The warning system itself was only 3 months old. In May 2026, Japan overhauled the naming of all its disaster weather information. The old names were technical. The new ones carry the alert level directly, like Level 5 Heavy Rain Special Warning, so residents can judge at a glance when to move. That night in Chiba was the first time the new heavy rain and landslide special warnings had ever been issued. One design detail matters here. A special warning is triggered not by a single gauge, but by how many 1 kilometer grid squares exceed danger thresholds as a cluster. It is an area judgment. As the rain belt moves, more municipalities enter the warning, which is exactly how 12 cities became 22. Now, why are cities weak against this kind of rain? Japan's government sorts urban flooding into two types, and the distinction matters. The first is river flooding. A river bursts its banks or overtops its levees. The second is internal flooding. The rain simply exceeds what the sewers and drainage channels can discharge, and water rises from inside the city itself. A station square or a road going underwater within the hour, that is the classic internal flood. A major river takes hours to rise, giving you time to decide. Internal flooding hits in minutes. How much of Chiba's flooding that night was internal has not been officially determined yet, but no major levee failures were reported, and the picture so far is flooded roads and swollen small rivers. Here is the number that surprises most people, the share of flooded buildings nationwide, by cause. 68% of flooded buildings in Japan are flooded by internal flooding, the sewers, not the rivers. River flooding accounts for 32%. That is the Infrastructure Ministry's total across a full decade of flood statistics. By building count, the main character of urban flooding is the drainage system, and the more urban the area, the stronger that tilt. In Tokyo, 71% of flood damage by value comes from internal flooding. So how much rain are those sewers designed for? Put the assumption next to the reality. Japan's national guideline sets the design standard for storm drainage at a rain that recurs once every 5 to 10 years. In concrete terms, Funabashi City, one of the affected suburbs, plans its drainage around a once-in-5 years rain, roughly 50 millimeters per hour. What actually fell on Chiba City that night was 115 millimeters per hour. More than double the design assumption, landing on top of the drainage system. To be fair, Funabashi is not an outlier. 50 millimeters is a perfectly standard figure, right in line with the national guideline. Which means the problem is not any single city, it is the distance between the standard itself and the rain. Now, how Reddit reacted? On the night of August 13th, as the rain fell, two threads went up on r/JapanWeather, a community where foreign residents of Japan trade weather information. What filled them was not commentary from a distance. It was live reporting from people inside the storm, in Chiba, that night. Posts listing which wards had evacuation orders. Accounts of driving home through rain you could not see through, all of it stacking up in real time. And the discussion kept circling back to two things. How fast the warnings escalated, and how roads that looked fine kept turning dangerous. First, the voices from the night, the warnings kept climbing. One resident described watching their disaster app push heavy rain and landslide alerts at higher and higher levels and called the experience intense. They lived on an upper floor away from any river and had not been worried for their own safety. Even so, watching the situation escalate that much within an hour or two was, in their words, scary. Another comment came from inside the disruption itself. 11 years working at a food factory, and this was the first time operations had ever stopped. Others called it the worst they had seen in 13 years in Japan, or the worst rain and flooding in 20 years of living in Chiba. The second thread came from drivers on the roads of Chiba that same night, and it describes exactly how the roads turned dangerous. A road that looked perfectly drivable would suddenly get deep around a corner, with spray coming up over the hood. At that point, all you can do is turn back and find another route. The poster, who took an hour to cover 4 kilometers, admitted they usually take weather warnings with a grain of salt, and that the flooding was far worse than they expected. And after news of the deaths came through, one comment turned into a proposal. Places that become dangerous when the water rises need to be far more visible. Integrating flood risk information into map apps would be a good idea. Another user agreed, arguing that in a country with this many natural disasters, map providers could even be required to display it. That question, whether risk is visible as a map, is exactly where our analysis goes next. Now the analysis. Start with what once in 100 years really means, because it is widely misread. Japan's weather agency defines it as a rain, with a 1 in 100 chance of occurring in any given year. It does not mean it happens once per century. It can happen twice in 1 year, or skip decades entirely. For Chiba, the estimated once-in-a-century rain is about 282 millimeters in a day. This event's 24-hour total, 351 millimeters, exceeded that benchmark. Daily totals and 24-hour totals are counted slightly differently, so this is not an exact comparison, but it tells you what league this rain was in. And here is the crucial part. That once-in-a-century figure is not standing still. Look at how often Japan records 100 millimeters or more in a single hour. Across the National Observation Network, the decade from 1976 averaged about 2.2 such events per year. The most recent decade averaged 4.0. Already 1.8 times more frequent. This is not a projection. It is observed history. The projections go further. For the Kanto region around Tokyo, rain that was once in a century in the late 20th century is projected to become about 3.7 times more frequent under a 4-degree warming scenario. One line of caution here. No single event, including this one, can be attributed to climate change on its own. Individual events and long-term trends are separate questions. But the trend itself, extreme rain becoming more frequent, is established science. Faced with those numbers, Japan's government has already rewritten its planning assumptions, and this part deserves credit. In 2020, the Infrastructure Ministry shifted national flood policy to what it calls river basin disaster management. Instead of river administrators alone building levees, everyone in the basin shares the task. Local governments, businesses, residents, down to storing rainwater temporarily in rice paddies and schoolyards. The planning baseline changed too. Flood plans are now to be built on projected future rainfall, with climate change factored in rather than past records alone. The government's own documents state that completing the current plans may still not secure the intended level of safety. And they state, in writing, that floods exceeding the capacity of infrastructure will inevitably occur. Under a 2-degree warming scenario, floods of the scale current plans are built for are projected to become about twice as frequent. The problem is the distance between the rewritten assumptions and the ground. What hasn't caught up is the pipes and the maps. Urban storm drainage nationwide stands at about 59% of target coverage, and that target is only the once in 5 years rain. Remember that internal flooding accounts for 68% of flooded buildings. Yet, hazard maps for internal flooding exist in just 148 municipalities, against an initial national target of about 800. In Funabashi, Of 13 priority drainage districts, the number fully completed is 0, though work is underway in 10. But calling this government negligence would miss the reality. The standards themselves openly build in the constraints of cost and time. And the works that do exist are working. In the Ichinomiya River Basin, the 2023 typhoon dropped roughly 50% more rain than the 2019 flood, yet fewer than half as many homes flooded. Partially opened retention basins and raised levees delivered results before the project was even finished. Progress is real, results are real, and the job is not done. Rather than fast or slow, we think the honest frame is a race between the pace of the rain and the pace of the works. So while the pipes and maps catch up, what can individuals do? The answer, we think, is to rethink one assumption, that you can move through the rain. Remember, the first victims reported that night, the man who died and the woman in cardiac arrest, were both on flooded roads. In urban floods, the roads become deadly before the buildings do. Cars strand, water depth becomes unreadable, and the journey itself is the danger. Japan's official guidance is blunt. Evacuate by alert level 4. Level 5 means the disaster has already begun, and a level 5 announcement is not even guaranteed to come. What you do at level 4 decides the outcome. Evacuation does not only mean walking to a shelter. Moving to an upper floor of a sound building, vertical evacuation, is an officially recognized option for floods. With conditions, the building must not be in a structural collapse risk zone, must have rooms above the expected waterline, and you must be able to last without utilities. If any of those fail, leaving early is the default. Some people cannot avoid moving. Commuters caught mid-journey, night shift workers. That is why employers and schools stopping activity early sits in the same toolbox as personal judgment. Still, the principle holds. Once torrential rain starts, every option narrows. On a day with a bad forecast, decide where you will spend the night while it is still light out. To conclude, let's return to the three questions. First, what made this rain historic? Not the total volume, but the intensity, 115 millimeters in an hour. Rain that occurs only a few times a year anywhere in Japan repeated itself across one prefecture, all night. Second, how much rain was the city designed for? Japan's sewer standard is the once in 5 to 10 years rain, about 50 millimeters an hour in Funabashi's case. More than double that fell on top of it. Third, what hasn't caught up? The government's planning assumptions are already rewritten for a warmer climate. What lags behind is the infrastructure on the ground and the hazard maps that tell residents what their own street was built to withstand. Finally, two things you can check today, wherever you live. One, look at your local hazard map and check whether it covers only river flooding or internal flooding from the drains as well. Two, on a day with a severe forecast, decide while it is still light whether you are moving that night or staying put. Updating design assumptions is not just about levees and sewers. It extends to the assumptions of the people who live behind them. How much rain can your city take? Whether that question becomes answerable, street by street, map by map, will be the difference in the years ahead. The full article, including the warning system tables and the complete Reddit threads, is linked in the description. Thanks for watching.